Let's turn today to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10, and last week we left off at verse 6. So we want to continue through Proverbs chapter 10, starting at verse 6. Proverbs chapter 10. And we'll be starting at verse 6. Now, as I was sharing with you last week, as we introduced chapter 10 of Proverbs, that the first nine chapters were just introduction, really, to the actual Proverbs, 375 Proverbs from chapter 10 through chapter 16, verse 22. And then after that, on to chapter 31, are discourses, just kind of confirming the wisdom of God and bringing the beauty of the wisdom of God through. And so we looked at the first five Proverbs last week, and we've come now to chapter verse 6. We want to look at verses 6 through 11 today. First, about the blessings of God upon your life and how precious that is, and how it is a marvelous thing what God has to say about his blessings in the Bible. And we want to make some connections today back to Father Abraham, actually the father of the faith, and beginning with his blessings and moving on toward the blessings that you and I have in and through the call of God and the faith in the Lord Jesus. For actually all blessings and righteousness come in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go on back in the Bible first let's read verse 6, the first part, and we'll go back then to Genesis and begin there with a little study. Now it says here, in verse 6 of chapter 10, blessings are upon the head of the just. Blessings are upon the head of the just. Now, as I mentioned to you last week, these proverbs in chapter 10 through chapter 15 are opposites. So we'll have this is good, this is bad. And so it'll give us a kind of like a sharpening to see what's bad, so that we don't get into those things, but then see the blessing of the Lord and the way that God would take us in the other half of the verse. And so we read, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covers or overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. There's a lot of violent thinking, a violent heart involved with the wicked, but blessings are upon the head of the just. Now, the just shall live by faith. And actually, we're told in the book of Romans that whom he justified, and I like to say that means justified, never sinned. He has glorified, that one day will be glorified with the saints in heaven before the throne of Jesus. And so the blessings, you see, blessings are on the head of the just. We are considered as the just as we know Jesus and have accepted him and his blood sacrifice for us on that cross. And the scriptures say, and I'm so glad for this verse in Hebrews, it says that when we get to heaven, it will be a group of just people made perfect. Just people made perfect. First he justifies us through his blood, and then he begins to work on us. And so as we get into the second part of the message today that talks a lot about the tongue, he's working on us. We're an unfinished work to get our tongue straight with the Lord, and we'll see the reasons for that as we go. But the blessings are upon the head of the just, justified through faith. We want to then, let's turn to Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. The first book in the Bible, Genesis. Genesis actually means beginnings. And this is the beginning of it all, the beginning of faith, the beginning of God's requirements, the beginning of the coming forth of God's blessings on the people of the earth is all in Genesis, the beginning. And so we go to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. And this is the call of Abraham, who is the father of the faith. And it says this, as the Lord speaks to him, in verse 2 of chapter 12, I will make of you a great nation. And of course, that is Israel. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. You can see there's a lot of blessing going on here, isn't there? Blessings on your head. And so a great nation, I will bless you and make you a blessing. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in you, and here this is such a all-inclusive statement, in you, Abraham, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Wow. You know, as we look at Revelation 5, and we have in the past few weeks been in Revelation and actually looked at chapter 5, where it actually lets us know that when we get to heaven, every tribe, every kindred, every people, every nation will be represented in heaven. That the Lord knows how to get around, doesn't he? Lord, how do you get around so good? Well, God's Spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. His Spirit is everywhere. His Spirit is wooing a people that he can call by his name. And his name is Jesus. Amen. And so all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And of course, this is fulfilled through Jesus Christ, where we know that Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons. And one of his sons' name was Judah. And through the tribe of Judah came King David, and then 14 generations after King David, 28 generations after King David, came the Lord Jesus Christ. And of the line, he's of the tribe of Judah, the line of the tribe of Judah. And he came, and he's the one that's the king, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He's the one that stretched out his arms and said, I love you this much. He stretched out his arms and died. And so for all of our sins, so that all the families of the earth could be blessed. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so he's calling to all the families of the earth. And so those that would respond to him and accept the free gift, enter in. As many as received him, gave he power to become the children of God. And this journey of the blessing upon Abraham transferred down through the years, the promise given to Abraham, and coming through the Lord Jesus. Now with that, we want to go ahead and get the scriptures about us personally. So let's go ahead to Romans chapter 4. Now in the scriptures, we have the Gospels, the first of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then we have the book of Acts. And right after the book of Acts is the book of Romans. So we go to Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Romans 4:3. Now, this is a quote from the Old Testament, actually from Genesis 15:6. It says, what says the scripture? It says this, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or put to his account in heaven as righteousness. So the just, the righteous, and it's all coming through Jesus Christ. It's through faith in Christ. And how do we know that? In the definitions given here in chapter 4 about Abraham's faith as he believed the Lord, we come down to verse 21 at the end of the chapter. Let's take a look at verse 21, that Abraham became righteous because he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And God performed these things through Abraham. And so all of us sitting here that know Christ, and we want to give you an opportunity at the end of the service to go to the prayer room to accept Christ if you don't know him yet. But as we accept the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives and look to him, who is the promised seed of Abraham that would come, then we can begin to grow in fully believing that what God has said he will perform. God works on us in so many ways to conform us to the image of Jesus. It's called sanctification. Now, verse 23 is where you are fully included. And just let me read that to you. It says, now it was not written for his sake alone, for Abraham's sake alone, that his belief was accounted in heaven as righteousness or being just, that it, okay, so now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed or credited to him, but for us also. And who's that? Well, that's us. For us also. Glory to God. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. To whom shall it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, everything we have done, ever done, or will do to offend God, was put on Jesus Christ on that cross. He was delivered up for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification, blessings on the head of the just. And that comes through what Jesus did by raising from the dead. God raised him from the dead, and he was raised again for definition, for our justification. And so what a beautiful thing to see. Now, we want to be included in the blessing of Abraham and see that in the New Testament. So let's go ahead and go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Now, you keep going in Romans until you get to the end. And then you go past Romans to 1 and 2 Corinthians. And right after 1 and 2 Corinthians is Galatians. We want to look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all the children of God, how? By faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. And that meaning there's neither Jew nor Gentile, which is a Gentile is a non-Jew. So this is all the people on the earth. Whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. As we accept the Lord as our Savior, then we're all one in him. And if you be Christ, what? Then are you Abraham's seed. You're hooked in with Father Abraham. He's got many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Blessings on your head, mazel tov. And your heirs according to the promise. The promise given Abraham, I will bless you, and I will bless your seed. And through as Jesus has come for us to look back to and Abraham to look forward to, he will bless all the families of the earth. And this is just a wonderful thing to be connected with, to be hooked up with. Don't just read the New Testament. Read the Old Testament. All the promises in the Old Testament are yours as well as the promises in the New. Because we are Abraham's seed. And where did Abraham begin? Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. And you are heirs according to the promise. And so this is a tremendous truth that we really need to know fully and deep down underneath the floorboards of our lives. It is so good. I just remember back the movie Fiddler on the Roof. And it is a movie about Jewish people in Russia that are being persecuted. And at the end of the movie, they end up moving where else but the USA. USA, USA. And so, you know, what a neat ending for them. But there was a song in the movie, and the song went, blessings on your head, mazel tov, blessings on your head. And so that's what we're looking at from this verse. I really think that the movie writers got that song from this scripture. Blessings on the head of the just. Now, this is a very wonderful thing to think about, to enjoy, to take in as we study the book of Proverbs. So I want you now to turn to your neighbor and say, blessings on your head. Oh, and mazel tov's going on with that too. Well, the Jewish folks would love us today. Blessings on your head. Great. This is true. Receive that. I've always been blessed with the way Pastor Chuck says, every single morning when he wakes up, he says, God, feel free to bless me today. It's not because he deserves it or he's thinking that, you know, he can take that from God, but he knows that God teaches that. God has said that. God has blessed Abraham with all those blessings that we just read. And we are with him on the same page, from the same book, from the same author, blessings on your head. Now let's say one more thing to each other. We said blessings on your head. Now say, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. To each other, that's our Savior. Amen. There's the truth of it. That's right. Okay. Well, let's go on back now to Proverbs chapter 10. And we want to look at about five more verses here. Proverbs chapter 10. And now, as we look at the second half of verse 6, it is something to be sharpened away from. It is a knowledge given to us about the wicked on the earth, that violence covers or overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. You know, and generally speaking, I think if you were to do a science project on this and just observe the things that are talked about at work, or walk along the strand at the beach and maybe eavesdrop on a few conversations, many times you'll hear people actually displaying violence in their hearts. Just talking very negatively about someone else. Maybe they've been hurt or they have a bitterness against mom or dad or somebody, you know, and they're just the boss at work, whatever. And they'll just have this violence kind of coming out of their hearts. You can hear it. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so the wicked are going to have violence all over their mouths and coming out their mouths. And we really want to steer clear of that as Christians. And so God help us with that battle. Now, there's a double emphasis on this clause from the Hebrew just in these few verses. Let's go to verse 11. And it says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. And so there's the same exact clause again. And you know, I always look carefully at the things that have double emphasis in a short amount of time. For instance, from the Lord's Prayer, when it says, forgive us our debts as we, or in the same way that we forgive our debtors. And then Jesus goes into a long parable about forgiveness right after the Lord's Prayer. And so what does that tell us? There's a double emphasis on forgiveness. Forgiveness is so important. And so we have this double emphasis on this violent thing in verse 6 and in verse 11. So it's very, very important to look at this. The key word here is violence. Violence in the heart will come out the mouth. And that happens with the wicked. And it can work on us too as Christians. So we have to be praying and asking God for help with this. If I'm always putting someone down, there's a problem. And if I'm hating people, you know, holding bitternesses against people all the time, there's something wrong that needs to be worked on. And God can help us, amen? And God wants to sanctify us or change that in our lives. I began to think about a little bit that actually I'm not surprised that there's so much violence lifted up and glorified in our culture that it's kind of scary in a way. I was shocked to hear that one of our missionaries years ago, back when we were at Jewish Community Center, went to Sweden, I was believed. Did John go to Sweden? Is that where John went? Sweden? And he came back and he shared with us. He said, you know, over there in Sweden, the X-rated movies are the violent movies. That actually Rocky Balboa, he didn't get to see Rocky until he got back to the States because it was rated X in Sweden because they're so against violence there. And that's kind of a good thing. But over there, the other side of it is that the sexual things were not rated X. But over here, we take care of the sexual things with X ratings, but not with the violence. And so many of our movies are so dark. And you know, man, maybe I'm more sensitive than most, but I think most of us are pretty sensitive, especially as the Lord works on your heart, is that you'll see a movie and you just go, Well, that is just over the top for me. I can't handle this violence, you know? And so you just want to walk out or not go. And so I'm really careful. Sherry and I have gone to the system of letting Jerry and Jen go see a movie first. And let us know if it's okay, you know? You never know when they're going to hit you with this stuff, you know what I'm saying? But there's such a darkness in so much of it, and in the TV shows, and you guys all know this. And so very naturally, we're going to be violently bent. And you know what? Another thing, and this might be really taboo to mention, but if you get too much into football, I've noticed this in my own life. And if I just really get angry because USC lost, and I get this bummer for like 3 weeks, and it's affected my life. Going, man, I gotta cool it. You know, all of that banging heads, you get him, kill him, kill him! You know, get him before he gets to the end zone, you know, all of that. And that kind of thing, I think, can affect us. You know, I did an experiment when the boys were young, and Jerry maybe remembers this from testimonies, but, you know, I was noticing as I was getting closer to the Lord that the Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd cartoons were kind of violent. You ever notice that? Poor Elmer Fudd. I mean, he would blast him in the face with explosives and, you know, he would be back the next, you know, for the next cartoon, but... And so I actually did an experiment. I let the kids watch the, you know, Saturday morning Bugs, I don't know what's on now, the Transformers or whatever, but the Bugs Bunny cartoons in the morning, and then noticed their behavior in the playroom afterwards. And they were hitting one another, and you know, you see little kids going around now, hiya, fogging, hiya, you know. I mean, what's going on there? So, you know, you're gonna see that. But then, at another time, see, this was a big experiment of mine. We did a Bible study and did some, you know, things with the Lord, with the kids, and talked gently and everything. And man, they were different. It was unbelievable to see it. You know, this is experiment A and experiment B. And from then, I began to talk to him a little bit about watching out for that. And there was a time that we actually didn't even have a TV. And so then we got into Little House on the Prairie. There was some violence in that, of course, but not the dark stuff, you know, that kids watch today. Ooh, man, and the games they play? Oh, with running after each other with knives. And my son John got into a game called... Dagon? No. What's it called? What? Anybody? Anybody? Anyway, it was a bad game. Diablo. Diablo? Diablo. And it was about the devil. And he thought it was fun at first because you could play online with other people. And one time in prayer, he was saying, Jesus, is there anything I can do for you? And the Lord spoke to his heart deeply and said, stop playing Diablo. You know, this heavily violent game, and I kill you and kill them and take over this city and world. And so I think there's some real truth to that. Ways to work on not having a violent tongue, your tongue overwhelmed with violence or with the thought of being down on others all the time. Oh man, we got to get loose of that. It's not of the Lord. It's of you know who. So this emphasis on violence. Now, the scripture says this in James 1. I want to give you a couple scriptures from James. James 1:20. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. So if I'm going to react in anger, then I'm not reacting with the Lord to different things. And I've had to apologize for that many times. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. It's as simple as that. I've got to wait until I'm not angry anymore to speak about it, whatever it is. Now let's turn to James 3 on this and just take an observation. James 3:8. Now James is towards the back of the Bible. James chapter 3, verse 8. Now, the Lord lets us know how it is right here. And the thing is, he wants us to get a picture of where he wants to take us, and that is to the area of blessing. Remember, he said to Abraham, and you will be a blessing. You, Abraham, will be a blessing, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So that's where the goal is. That's where we're going, and we're on this process of sanctification for him to work with us to grow to a place where we can really not respond with anger and the wrath thing. So let's read this. It says, the tongue can no man tame. Boy, isn't that the truth? It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to so to be. In other words, I'm going to be working on you about this, says the Lord. I'm going to be sanctifying you that you should not be blessing God and then cursing men. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It's not natural. It doesn't work. And so if I am blessing the Lord, praising God, and then cursing men, this is not a good place to be. In fact, the scripture says, speak evil of no man. Whoa, no man, Lord? What about this? What about that guy? What about this guy that did that to me? Don't speak evil. Pray for them. And actually, Jesus put it this way. He said, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Bless and not curse. As don't return evil for evil, but return good for evil. Don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so those are the things that are in the Bible and what the Lord wants. And so this is a convicting scripture to read. There are convicting verses in Proverbs as we go through that God wants to work with you with and to bring you to a place of what we're going to look at in just a few minutes here, a list of how blessed you are and the people around you are if you have a wholesome tongue. Yes, that you've got wholesome, edifying things to say, thinking on the things that deserve praise and so forth, how you'll lift your own spirit and lift the spirits around you, not wasting time with what the wicked do all the time. And that is just to have this evil tongue that their mouths are covered with violence and their mouths are overwhelmed with violence. Another translation says their mouth of the wicked conceals violence. They're trying to conceal violence that's in their hearts. But, like I quoted earlier, the mouth actually speaks from what's in the heart. That's what Jesus said. And so they're not going to be able to hide it if they truly are just living with a violent heart. God wants to change that in every Christian and work on it with every Christian. So there it is. Now let's go on back now to Proverbs chapter 10, and we'll be moving forward now to the righteous mouth, and that is a wonderful thing to read about and end with today. But on the way, we want to read some other scriptures in between. So we get to back to chapter 10, and we want to look at verse 7 now. And it says, the memory of the just is blessed. Oh yeah, we think back on Father Abraham. You think back on your relatives that love the Lord. Oh, their memory is blessed. I do think of my grandmother often. She's the one that started all the Christian blessing in our family. And think of my mom, and you probably do this too from time to time. And just the memories, you know, it's just wonderful to think of them. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. That's pretty straightforward, you know. Well, I don't want to be on the rot side, but the memory of the just. You know, I'd like to talk to you about this a little bit on the national level. It is such a blessing to think about people like Abraham Lincoln. And I think about Queen Victoria in England. She was a big part of what's known now in history books as the Victorian Age. Of course, the humanists, secularists, they really put that down. They called it being a prude and things, but she loved Jesus. She loved the Lord. Now, Hollywood's tried to kind of defame her with some of the movies I've seen or tried about Queen Victoria, but you read the history and know the history about her. She was just a straight arrow for Jesus. She loved the Lord. She had a respect for God and an awe. And there was an awe and respect for God, generally speaking, throughout all of England and France also. France had a Bible college that sent missionaries all over the world, and so did London. And one of the ones that was affected through in the Victorian age was Dr. Livingston. And you probably all heard the saying, Dr. Livingston, I presume. I grew up saying that and didn't even know who it was or what it meant. But Sherry and I fell in love with this guy. We read a book about him and saw the movie. And the movie's done very well. And he was the first missionary to go into deepest, darkest Africa. The missionary bases were all along the fringes of Africa, in the seaport villages, areas down in Cape Horn, down at the southern part of Africa, mainly speaking. But Dr. Livingston just had a burden to get to the people that lived along the Congo River and that lived in what's modern day Uganda. And you might know that there's a huge lake in Uganda, in the deepest, what used to be known as the deepest, darkest part of Africa, called Lake Victoria, named after Queen Victoria. Her heart was for the lost, and so many missionaries. And then there's Victoria Falls, which some of our congregation members, I see Terry sitting there, has actually been to Victoria Falls. And quite a sight, huh, Terry? Yeah, and or did you not go there? She was near there. There you go. That's good enough. And that's where Dr. Livingston roamed. That was his territory. He could hike 19 miles a day because he was a military man, and his body was just made that way. Man, imagine that, guys, just being able to do that. And he just hiked back in there, and he had malaria over and over again. They didn't know what it was in those days. They just called it the fever. And so he would get the fever and just live through it, press through it, and keep going. And so the people back home got curious, where is he? Is he dead? We haven't seen him in all these years. And so this reporter was hired by a big New York firm. This is in the movie, by a big New York firm to go find Dr. Livingston. And that's where the line comes, Dr. Livingston, I presume, when he finally found him. And he was in deepest, darkest Africa, and that is where he died. But you know, they brought his body back to London, and they buried him at Westminster Abbey, where all the kings of England are buried, and where all the queens and kings of England had their coronation. It is a prime church. It's a beautiful cathedral in the middle of London. And so he was honored. His memory is sweet. His memory is blessed. His memory goes on. And so we think of Dr. Livingston, we think of Queen Victoria. And in England, if you visit there, Queen Victoria has a statue made for her. And why is that? It's because she was righteous. And so God blesses the memory, as we're just reading in verse 7 here. Verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. And so it's something you can see nationwide. And you know, it's interesting, over at Westminster Abbey, guess who has a statue there? Martin Luther King Jr. London and the Westminster Abbey, where all the kings of history are buried, Martin Luther King Jr. has his statue there because he was a man of God. And you know, it was 60 years before us that slavery was stopped in England because of Wilberforce. And you can see that movie. It's called Amazing Grace. We actually own that movie, and we showed it here at church. And it was just wonderful what God's Spirit put on Wilberforce in the Parliament of England that stopped slavery 60 years before it was stopped here in the United States. And so, of course, they're going to love Martin Luther King Jr. And there he is. Yes, the memory of the just is blessed. And so a neat thing to remember, and a good reason to really seek righteousness, seek justice in your life and the things that you're about. Now let's go on. Verse 8 says, the wise in heart will receive commandments or accept the commandments of God. What God says, I really want to do. But a prating fool shall fall. Now this is another double emphasis in these verses. And this can also be translated, a chattering fool comes to ruin. And we see this also in verse 10. Verse 10 says, he that winks with the eye causes grief, but a prating fool shall fall, or a chattering fool comes to ruin. So a double emphasis just in just two, one verse apart, double emphasis. So something we really want to be sharpened away from. Now, in the beginning of verse 10, it says, he that winks with maliciousness, is another translation of that, with the eye causes sorrow. So these are two negatives in verse 10. And it's this kind of thing. Somebody's doing something really wrong, but you really want to be their friend, so you kind of wink at them. You know, like approvingly, just winking at sin, just letting it get by, and just going with the flow like so many dead fish downstream. Just agreeing with everybody because you want to be friendly, just kind of winking at sin, winking at maliciousness. And so that's not good, and that brings grief. But this is worse. A prating fool or a chattering fool comes to ruin or shall fall. Okay, so what is this talking about? Well, I think that we can use an example from the New Testament. So let's turn there, going on to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, Timothy is with all the T's, Thessalonians, Titus, Timothy. Timothy's before Titus, 1 and 2 Timothy. So we have 2 Timothy 2:16. It says here to shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So the word there is, don't be afraid to walk away from that if that's happening. We went to Garden Grove High School. Well, I mean, my boys did, and I figure I was there as much as them almost, watching all the sports, you know. And there was this one dad that really didn't like preachers or the Lord, you know, maybe we should say didn't like the Lord and didn't like preachers. So he was pretty wicked, and he on purpose said large cuss words in front of Sherry and I one night at the football game. I think he'd been drinking, but anyway, he just started saying these most perverse things, just and it was just killing me. And it was killing me that my wife, my precious wife, was standing next to me, and I was like allowing that to go on with this profanity. He kept saying the F word over and over again, the crudest man, right in front of my wife. And just you could feel the evil there, and just kind of an attack, like, you're a preacher, but this is who I am, and I'm getting in your face. And, you know, finally, you know, praise God, the Lord just said, you just need to walk away, and walk away quick and now. And so we did. We just turned away and just walked away. But, you know, we really need to do that and to not put up with that kind of stuff. It says to shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now, Paul has a specific thing in mind here in his experience. And he says, their word does eat like a canker or a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, these two men, and they were actually, it says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, nothing got Paul more upset than if the faith of the new believers has been compromised because of false teachers. That just made him mad. And he just said, look, you know, these guys, and hopefully, you know, as he's writing scripture, that he's not continuing in the wrath of man, but just talking about the righteousness of God here. That these guys were bringing a cancer in to actually pervert the faith or overthrow the faith of some. And so they were teaching that the resurrection is already past. And so with these scriptures, I just feel liberty to bring up to the Jehovah's Witness. I don't know if we all know what they believe and what they've taught in the past. I said actually that Jesus Christ was to return in 1914. And Jesus didn't come back in 1914. So then they moved the date up. And they moved the date up a few times, but then they said he actually has come and he's hiding out. So somewhere Jesus is hiding out. You know, and Jesus knew about this beforehand, because in Matthew 24, he says, if some come and say to you that Christ is here or if he's over here, don't believe them. Christ is in the desert is actually used as a verse there in Matthew 24. Don't believe them, because when he does come, it's going to be like lightning in the sky, streaking down from the east to the west. And so that's what we need to believe, and we need to shun profane babblings and things that just aren't of the Lord. They only create an increase in ungodliness. We should stay firmly in the Word of God and not be reading the Book of Mormon, the Watchtower, all these added things that add doctrine, to add things that should be believed as Scripture to the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of God, and we stay safely right there. And so just a warning here from the Scriptures that Paul brings to us right here. So then with that, let's go back and read verse 9. We didn't read verse 9 yet in Proverbs 10, and then go on to verse 11 with the mouth of the righteous. So in verse 9, it says, he that walks uprightly walks surely, but he that perverts his ways shall be known or found out. Boy, you can't hide from God. Your sin will find you out. And the things that are even said in secret, Jesus said, will be shouted from the rooftops. So you and I, we better think twice about what we're going to say in secret, because it'll get out. It always gets out. Boy, I think human beings are so good at rooting stuff out. I'm going to find out what was really said, you know. And it works. We'll be shouted from the rooftops. And so being careful about that. But it says here that in verse 9, he that walks uprightly walks surely. I love this. The Lord tells us that he will make our feet like hind's feet on high places. Now, a hind is a goat, a mountain goat, and their feet are designed to walk surely on really steep rocky cliffs. And you can see them in Israel, way up there on cliffs, walking along if you're there at the right time. And that's what the Lord wants to do with us. If we walk uprightly with him, then he will make our feet sure. There would be a sureness like hind's feet on high places, that even though we're in rocky places, he will keep us in high places, because our steps are sure as we walk in the Lord. This is what this proverb is saying. Now, let's go on then to the first part of verse 11, which is the only thing we haven't covered yet. And it says, the mouth of a righteous man, in contrast to the mouth of the wicked man, is a well of life. Oh, I love this. Now, this scripture and another one speak of our words, if they're rightly founded in the Lord, being like a well, like the woman at the well with Jesus. When Jesus said to her, if I give you water to drink, you will never thirst again. And it will be like a well of water springing up into everlasting life, refreshing waters. And we can give one another refreshing waters, a well of life. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Now there's another proverb to go with that So let's look at, keep your hand at chapter 10, we'll be right back. But Proverbs 18:4. This is so poetic. And I just love the poetry here. It's just wonderful. Proverbs 18:4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Isn't that beautiful? That's something that you'd want to put on a card or something, you know. The words of man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom, when I'm giving the wisdom of God that we're studying and learning right now, the wisdom of God, the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It actually says in Revelation that the sound of Jesus Christ's voice is as the sound of many waters. Many waters. And so when you're in a forest and you find yourself wanting to find the stream, to find the brook, it's just a natural thing that's in man. We're 70% water. We're just seeking out a stream or a waterfall. We all hike to waterfalls when we can, if it's not too far nowadays. But we want to see that water. It's because it's like the sound of Jesus's voice. And it's something that he's given as an example in the scriptures and surrounding wind. And so the wellspring of wisdom is as a flowing brook, and bringing that peace and that beauty to those around you. Let's go back to now to 10:20, chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 20. And it says this in verse 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. And so think of the fine silver that you might have been given as gifts, or I know some of the ladies like to make cabinets with silver things in them. And you have to polish it, though. You have to remember that, because it gets, you know, not good. But this is choice silver. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. Now look at the next one, verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many. Feed many. That you and I can actually feed each other. I like that this one Calvary Chapel t-shirt I saw once. I can't remember the name of the Calvary Chapel, but it said Calvary Chapel so-and-so, where the sheep come to eat. Isn't that good? Where the sheep come to eat. Because the word of God given to one another, we're actually feeding each other. And we need that spiritual food, like manna in the wilderness. The word of God just lifting us up and feeding our souls. And so it's food for the soul when we have the lips that are speaking righteousness. The lips of the righteous feed many. Also, the lips of the righteous are like a medicine to people. Let's turn to 12:18, chapter Proverbs 12, verse 18. It says, there is he that speaks like the piercings of a sword. That's the negative part. But the opposite then is, but the tongue of the wise is health. It's health. You can actually make someone feel better when they're sick. They're suffering, that you can bring the blessing of encouragement to a place where it's going to help them get better. It's going to be health to them because it's the Word of God. It's coming from the Word of God. Years ago, the Lord told me to go to the hospital and read to a person that was almost dead. And the next day, they turned around. And it was the Word of God. I'm convinced it was the Word of God. It was bringing health. It was bringing health and encouraging in that healing. And so we know that these things are true and right. Well, let's turn to chapter 15, verse 4. This is the last proverb where something is said about the righteous tongue. And then I want to just give you a closing scripture. So we go to 15:4. It says this, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. We don't want to breach anybody's spirit. We don't want to hurt spirits. You know how you can train a dog and you can be so mean to the poor dog, you break its spirit. You see their big brown eyes on TV all the time. Do you see that? Well, they're saying, please rescue this dog. And Jaren Jen just rescued a couple of dogs from the pound, you know, just one, yeah, just one dog. And we went over to the pound to help them look for their dog. And man, it's like a concentration camp over there. It's I mean, not that the people are mean, because the people are very nice to the dogs, the workers and everything, and they really fall in love with them. But the poor things, they just went out. They start barking as you go by their cage. Out! I want out! 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 I want out! I want out! 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 Yeah, I mean, it's plain, it's clear. They're even speaking English, you know what I'm saying? So, but that was a pretty good one, wasn't it? You know? Yeah. I've got to be honest with you, okay? A Christian comedian did that, and I've never laughed harder in my life. We had a couple's retreat. Is anybody on that retreat? Gosh, they're all gone. Anyway, oh wait, you're pointing. Connie was there? You own that video. Oh yeah. Okay, well anyway, he was talking about German shepherds and all that, but at the end you hear as they're shooting at the German shepherds. Anyway, sorry, that's very negative. That part wasn't funny. That was a bad comedian. No. I need to move on. Okay, here we go. So it says a wholesome tongue, whoa, man, I just, you know, anyway. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Now, the tree of life is in heaven. And we're told that on either side of the river that flows from the throne of God, there'll be the tree of life. There it is. It was originally in the Garden of Eden, but they were unallowed to eat that fruit because when you eat the tree of life, you live forever. So God removed it, removed them from the garden, and then it shows up in heaven later, on either side of the river in heaven and either side of the streets in heaven, which I pray to the Lord aren't asphalt. They're gold, right? They're gold, transparent gold. That'll be so cool. But this tree bears fruit once a month instead of once a year. And so if you're in the mood for peaches, you have to wait a month, but not a year, to get them. Or maybe if it just completed the cycle, you might have to wait a year for the peaches. But there's going to be fruit on the trees to eat all the time. And these things, this fruit will just be life to us. So the tree of life. Now, there's a connection with heaven to your mouth, right there. Look at that. The tongue, the wholesome tongue. My grandmother always said that to me, Mark, we must be wholesome. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And so we're bringing a touch of heaven from the tree of life that's in heaven that was originally in the garden to the people around us as we speak the word of God. And it is neat. Now, just to end then today, how many want to have a desirable life? Yeah, me too. How many want to see good days? Oh, I want to see, Lord, bring some good days. Yeah, Lord. And long life. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is all good. Actually, the Lord tells us how to do this. And it's so important that he says it in the Old Testament, and the exact same thing in the New Testament. And so I want you to turn to the Old Testament one. It's just like the one in the New Testament, Psalm 34, 12. And we need a drum roll for this one. Okay. Psalm 34, 12. Okay. What man is he that desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile or deceit. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. And so this verse actually is quoted in 1 Peter 3:10 by the Apostle Peter to reemphasize it for us. But you know, this is so true. And try this. Do some experiments with it. And just notice how much better you feel when you're encouraging someone instead of tearing down someone. Or when you're talking about someone that it's for the cause of prayer if they're in trouble, and to speak well of them instead of, you know, tearing down their character. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. And let the Lord then touch your life and cause you to see good days. You just feel better. It's as simple as that. Bottom line, you will feel better. And as God works on us through sanctification to make not our life a double-tongued thing, but more of a single-tongued thing that's always looking to edify and to build up. And think on these things, whatsoever things deserve praise, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. And it's hard for us in our society. We need to be delivered from this present evil world. It's hard on us because of human nature, but it's the goal. And we press on, amen? Press on to the mark of the high call of Jesus Christ. So let's pray together, and then we'll sing. So Lord, all of us, we desire, Lord, to just have a good life. We desire good days and see good days and long days and long life until you come, Father. And Father, we just want to pray, Lord, that you would help our tongues. You would stay with us with this, Lord. And we know in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. And Lord, we just want to stay clear of that. Father, we want to be remembered well. We want to receive all your blessings on your head, mazel tov. And Lord, just be walking with you. Experience the good life in Jesus. So help us, Lord. Lead us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the gift of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that without you, we can do nothing. We can't do this without you, Lord. So we're asking here today and thanking you, Lord, for the answers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Remember earlier in the service, I'd mentioned to you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior yet, you haven't received him, you haven't started on this road. The Lord says, come unto me, all you the labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He wants to teach you about himself. He wants you to bring you from bitterness, from violent filled tongue, to a tongue that blesses and brings life to others, and water springs, and all these things. And Jesus wants you. He loves you. He wants to bring you into a place of blessing in your life, all the blessings of the Old and New Testament upon your life. And so right here is the prayer room, and the door is open for you to come to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and always remember, blessing on your head. Hallelujah. God bless you guys. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.